So the last two times my audio has been still a little bit crackly.
Like on your end or on Craig's end?
On Craig's recording. So I'm recording in OBS this time to try and see what's up with that.
If see, it's OBS is crackly too.
Yeah.
We'll is just Craig keep using the noise suppression?
Oh God, I hope not.
Yeah, I would also hope not.
How do I turn off noise suppression?
Next to the mute button near your name, there's a little
Of your noise suppressions off?
I have suppressed suppression.
Super suppression?
Yeah, mine had turned itself back on, but it is now off again.
Oh, now you're crackly.
Am I?
He sounds fine to me.
Just that last one.
Huh, weird.
Yeah, it's all good. I think Craig is in general a benefit if we can get it dialed in. But I've turned my suppression off. We'll see if that changes anything this time either. I'm also going to record my screen because I have an idea.
Ooh. An idea, okay. Man. Literally everything okay. In my wish list is on sale. Curse you, Steam.
Well, that's a pretty good place to start, though, Michael. Everything was on sale this week. So hello and welcome back to We Were Gamers. It's been like 3 years since we've actually delved into a Steam sale. This is episode 395, maybe? And off the bat, yes, we know about the audio. I might even leave in the portion where we were discussing the audio. My audio, specifically. We're working on it. We're making changes here. I'm going to try and upgrade some stuff around the podcast. We're working on it.
Has anyone noticed that or just you?
Oh, I don't know. What do you guys, have you noticed it? I don't know if you probably don't even, who wants to listen to themselves really, right? I mean, no.
I don't always, I will say.
Yeah, I don't always either. But I have been noticing it because I've been listening, because we invited Craig into the podcast. And trying out Craig has been interesting and a learning experience, and I am working with it. So, yeah, it's better than everyone recording their own audio and trying to match it all up. It's just a mess trying to do that, really. And me trying to pre-level the podcast in OBS is always a pain in the butt. Because then I can't level it later very easily and efficiently. It's we're trying things out.
Yeah, it's hard to win. Craig seems like it's as close to winning as you can get, right?
Plus, we can say, hey, Craig. Wow.
I didn't know. Is there a reference I was supposed to get there?
I mean, if you like good movies, that's cool. That's cool. You don't like Friday. It's okay.
I mean, I do like Friday. I'm just not remembering. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
I think your memory is better during when we were talking about Dune.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, Michael brought up the Steam sale.
That I did.
Thought we lost you there for a minute.
You brought that up like you were going to say, and I bought all the things.
Well, I mean, I was going to let you guys go first. Before I said I bought all the things.
I haven't bought anything. I'll say I haven't bought anything that it was on sale. I did buy a thing. It's coming soon.
TBD, the thing. Okay.
No, I mean, you know what the thing is. It's just, it's waiting for Thursday to be unlocked.
Oh, gotcha. That wasn't on sale though.
It was not.
Oh, well. I assume, JJ, you partook of nothing currently, given your current index of games.
Yeah. I do wonder what Michael's thing is, since apparently y'all know, but I don't.
Oh, it hasn't been unlocked. It's from Sony.
Oh, is that when that drops finally?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Horizon Forbidden West for people that have not been listening to the podcast every episode. And if you haven't been, then what are you doing? I mean...
You're going to YouTube and looking us up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. YouTube.com/@WeWereGamers. We appreciate it. Thank you. Like and subscribe.
Got him.
Oh, man. A bunch of stuff that was on my list was a bunch of little things on my list were heavily discounted. The big things were not, but a few small games like the SNK 40th anniversary was down to like $4. Lumens or Lumines remastered was down to like $4.
Luminous? I don't know how maybe you say that. Honestly, it could be any of those.
Luminous, I think, is some people, and Lumines would be another one. I could be saying it completely wrong. I have no idea. Luminous makes sense, too.
It's all sensible. That's the issue.
Yeah, maybe I should have looked it up. I don't know. Maybe
no research on this podcast. Absolutely not.
I'll look it up before I play it. That seems like proper amount of research to do.
Sure.
JJ also, however, convinced me to stop being cheap, quote unquote.
I wondered if you were going to bring that up.
He said, you should stop being cheap. When I said, why? I know that it's brand new and I shouldn't expect anything. So I went and bought Balatro also.
As is befitting. I don't want it to feel like I was pressuring you into doing something you weren't comfortable with, but it's $15, dude. Like, it's like, you know, whatever, right? Like,
yeah. So I'm booting up my first game of Balatro, which I'm now streaming to you.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Yeah, let's do this.
I got to figure out how to turn the audio down in Balatro because I have a bad feeling it's too loud. But, uh-oh.
You are correct, JJ, that it is very chill music.
This music is so good.
Chill music, yeah. I lost my mouse, though. My mouse is not showing up. So that's... Yeah.
That's going to make this real fun.
That's not going to work, is it?
No, people can see what you're clicking, though. Like
I know, but I can't see my mouse.
Oh, you also can't see it.
It's on his end.
Ooh. I cannot see my mouse.
That's a problem.
So that's kind of a problem. Okay,
so you get to tell us how the keyboard controls work.
Well,
you can use a controller. You can use a controller. It does work.
Oh, I can use a controller. Okay, let's turn this music down, though. Holy cow. I'm going to boot up my controller.
You just slide that music volume down right there.
It's not working. This is the best intro ever to a game. Okay, music. 60%. Game volume. Good lord. That was loud. It's still not going down, really.
Master
volume?
It is.
Oh, there we go.
It's lower for me. I mean, every time playing with the sliders, it gets less.
That's probably a good... it still might be too much.
I mean, it feels very low now in my headphones, but apparently you all thought it was overwhelmingly loud, and I did not at the start, so.
Okay. Let's try that. Graphics. That looks good. Less CRT. It's making me dizzy.
No, the CRT more.
CRT bloom off. Let's just play the game. Just a little bit. I want you to guide me through the game.
There is a tutorial. There is a tutorial.
Oh, there is.
You can skip it if you want, but...
Should I skip it?
No. Ships? You should probably read it.
Okay, small blind, 300 ships to beat it. Let's start a round. We're just going to play maybe a little bit. Yeah, okay. Play poker hands. Earn
chips. Times molt.
Times molt, okay. See your poker hands in the run info. Okay, great. I'm wondering. Yeah, okay. This is the stuff you showed us last time. Cards also earn some chips. Hover over to see. So each card gives you chips, right, JJ?
Right. Per the level value of the card. Tens and face cards are all worth 10.
So and then ace blackjack numbering.
Ace is worth 11.
Yeah, blackjack numbering.
Right.
To be also clear, just like in blackjack, the ace also can loop around. So you can make a straight that is like 5, 4, 3. Yeah, it will. Yeah, you can go circularly like that. So also to be clear.
Wait, what?
A straight, it circles around. So an ace is a 1.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if you do like 4, 3, 2, ace.
Yeah.
That's a straight. Okay, 4 and like 3, 2, ace, king, also a straight.
What it, It doesn't want me to. Okay. It won't let me do
the
anything.
Button that except, says next.
Yeah, I'm hitting. I'm hitting A, not X. Select up to 5 cards to play and press and play. Okay, so we want to play these 9s, right?
Sure.
And then we just play the 9s.
Well, you can play up to 5 cards. You do not have to pick 5.
Oh, the text said pick 5.
It said up to 5.
Yeah.
Ooh. Discard to select to 5 selected cards to try and... Oh, it just says 5. I think it means up to, though, right?
It does say
up to.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all are reading comprehension. What do they teach in schools? Something.
Reading is fundamental.
Members of the PTA, come on.
I don't tell the PTA, though, that I can't read. What should I discard here? We've got, like, 2 straight draws, but we've also got a pair. JJ, what is this game's tendency?
Randomness is random, and you can't control the cards.
Toss the 2, keep the rest.
Play it like you would a poker hand, right? Try and build the best poker hand. I think you can toss some of the face cards, but it depends on what we've seen and what we haven't seen, right? Like, what's still left in the deck?
We threw away some 9s. So we're not going
to... Sure. I toss the 2, see what you get, and then we can go from there, right?
Okay, sure. We've got 2 jacks.
Got 2 pair.
Got 2 pair.
Of hands and discards per round. Yeah, we talked about that last time. Earn 300 chips before you run out of hands to win this round, right? So now we've got 2 pair, which is going to give us 40 chips.
Maybe now play that 6 or that 5, because we're not going for the straight anymore here.
Right, here. Yes. So that'll give us a free discard. Good point. Okay. So now we're going to dump 2 jacks and 2 sevens and a 6. And that 6 gave us chips, I guess.
No, the 6 gives you nothing. Only the scoring hand gives you stuff. But it was a free discard, right?
Fair.
So if you played something like a flush, all 5
good
cards
thing we didn't
give you
keep,
points.
It's a good thing we didn't keep that 6, you guys.
That's
I think we should do another discard here, right? To try and shoot,
you're gonna try and finish the straight.
We got a pair at least.
I was overzealous in hitting the discard button there. I was trying to get rid of those face cards. Is it worth doing another discard before a hand here?
Yeah, you don't. The discards can't take them with you, so you know.
Oh,
use
okay.
Them up.
Use them up. Okay, so I think this is our discard.
Yeah. Feels pretty good.
Okay.
Then you got 2 pair again.
Got 2 pair again, yeah. And then pick your least favorite other card.
You tossed a 6 already. You may as well toss another one.
Yeah, so it's also worth saying, if you hold left trigger there, Andrew, you can peek at the deck.
Left trigger or left bumper?
Look at the screen.
Left trigger. Look at the screen, he says.
So it tells you exactly what's in the deck. It's not a secret. You can just look and be like, oh, there's more 3s or there's more queens or jacks or whatever. So if you ever get confused, you're like, did I discard this? Do I have a better chance of drawing a queen or a king?
So it counts cards for you.
Yes.
Well, I mean, this is what should have been in Hearthstone from the beginning, right? Like, oh yeah, this is still in your deck. What is a view deck? Oh!
You can see it as a...
Now you can see every card that's there, some ratios like, spades, clubs, aces,
well, this is
cards,
for... You said that you can, like, start replacing cards and stuff, right? So this will show you what your deck looks like with all the replaced cards and everything?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, got it. So we're just playing this, right? So
yeah, seems good.
I think we'll play through the tutorial real quick if it's not too slow, and then we'll move on with the podcast.
Yeah, so I think got another 2 pair here, and
this is a lot of 2 pairage, huh?
Probably puts you over.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, that'll put us.
3 is terrible.
You only need 50 points. You'll be way over.
Yeah, you'll be way over.
Okay, we did it. We won. Hooray.
So I want to inform you now that the tutorial is not just like a tutorial. It's a whole run. Like, it doesn't stop once it finishes telling you things.
Stop midway through here.
Yes, you can.
And then get it back.
But you should read this stuff about the shop because this is important.
Okay, nicely done. Now that you've flushed with cash, you can buy some stuff from the shop. Try buying this handsome devil. Right button to buy. This is one of the 150 jokers you can add to your run. Every joker does these actions. This 4 multiplier to every hand we play. Be picky. You can only carry 5 jokers, right? You'd sell this. Buy another card from the shop. Not discovered. Enhances 2 selected cards to multiple cards. What's that mean?
To molt cards. And this is a tarot card. And this is the Empress specifically.
Consumable. Enhance your playing cards. Hold on to it. Okay. Carry up to 2 consumable cards with you at a time. Buy a voucher. Vouchers passively upgrade your run. Yep, we talked about that before.
Yeah, like permanent upgrades.
Right. Vouchers are restocked after you defeat the boss, so you only get 1 voucher. Check out both of the booster packs in every shop. Full of goodies. Okay. Choose one of up to 3 cards. Choose one. Okay, so this all is cool. So, JJ, based on now what I've seen here, do you want to be saving for vouchers basically from the start so you can get that upgrade immediately before the boss
resets it? It depends, man. Like, sometimes the vouchers aren't worth it. Or like, the amount of money you spend on the voucher, you know, it's 10. You only got here with, like, $6 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And if it's not directly going to benefit you versus, like, you know, gaining a joker or changing some of the cards in your deck or whatever, like, it's... You know, it may not be worth the investment.
I have 2 questions. 1, what is a tag?
You know, it's telling you there. Can you see it? Does it tell you?
It said you get a tag and it has a unique effect. Give us an example.
So, for instance, you earn the tags when you skip around, and the tags do stuff. Like, one of them will say, the next shop will guaranteed have an uncommon joker or a rare joker. Or skipping this blind will give you money equal to the number of other rounds you've skipped. Or if you skip this round, when you defeat the boss, you'll earn $15. Or there's a whole bunch of different ones. They have weird effects.
Gotcha.
They'll mostly be like, oh, you open this, you get a free pack of cards, or you get a little money, or you get a little thing. And the question is, like, is playing the round out, winning the money you get from the round, you know, plus whatever else, worth not getting that, right? Versus right. Whatever you get from the skip.
So then this guy, the hook, discards 2 random cards per hand. Those are cards that are left behind when you play a hand or from the hand you played.
Yeah, so this is the boss for this round, or this this ante, right?
Got it.
And okay, yeah, so it'll be, you'll play your hand, and then of the cards you have left over, 2 will be discarded.
Oh. Got it. Okay, cool. I want to select something and then back us out of here so we can do other stuff. But this is it. This is now going to be my life.
I mean, the game continues. It's not like it's the end of life here.
No, my life.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, it may be that.
Jokers trigger in order from left to right. Use your consumables. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I would go up and use that consumable now since you have a nice pair there.
I think you have to select the cards first.
Oh, you select them first. Select the 2 cards. So select the jokers.
The jacks, yeah.
Jacks, sorry. Use. Is that permanent?
Yes.
Okay.
So now if you play the 2 jacks, you'll notice how many more points you get than before.
Plus 4 multiplier for each one.
Oh, did that remove the multiplier?
No, you have to play the hand before it adds in.
Oh,
also, it doesn't remove it anyway. They're now attached to the card.
Well, we have a straight. Should we play the straight first to see if we get more jacks? Sure. Oh, no, we don't have a straight. Whoops.
Oh, yeah. You're missing one. Yeah, do the two pair. It'll be fine.
This will be a fair number of points, yeah.
Oof. Oof.
That little fire effect tells you
you're done.
You won, yeah.
Oh. One go, huh? Wow.
644 off the one play, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
The power of a higher multiplier.
I feel so fancy.
And it gets you more money that way.
Right. So the other thing to note is the way you make money in this game, right? You earn interest by keeping money between rounds. I feel like it's going to explain this to you.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
So if you, for every $5 you have in your pot, that unspent, basically, you earn $1 after a win.
So 20% interest on everything, every five.
Yes. And then you earn some money, like listed on the round, right? Just for winning, you earn some money. And then for every unused hand, you get $2. Yes.
Whoa.
You can get a lot of money in this game. You know, there's varying reasons of how useful that is, but
gain one hand per round. Planet cards are exactly what?
That one right there.
Hover over it.
Yeah. Level one, level up two pair plus one. So it's kind of a permanent thing also.
Right, but it applies to the hand as opposed to any one card. So the next time you play a two pair, it will start higher. Right, it will start with, like, you know, when you played it this time, it was, I don't remember what it's like, 20 and times two or something.
Uh-huh.
And now it will start at what, 30 and times three.
So what does use mean?
40 and times
it's three. Only done, it can only be done once?
Yeah, the card is a consumable, just like that Empress you had, right? So you can buy it and hold on to it and wait.
Until you see you have two pair.
Or you can buy it and use it now, and it will level the two pair up. It doesn't make for planets. It's less important than the tarot cards. The tarot cards typically are applying to the cards you draw. So you want to make sure you use them on good ones.
Why would you not buy and use something like this right away?
Well, what if you have a bunch of these planet cards, and you're like, well, I don't really care about playing two pairs. I really want to play three of a kind, or I really want to be playing flushes, and like leveling up two pairs isn't going to help you. You can also buy it. Or if you have it and get it through other means, you can sell it back for some money. Not as much as you pay for it, obviously. But if you're like never going to play two pairs on some run for some reason and you just want to sell it for a dollar or whatever, you can.
Yeah.
But why would I buy it now and not use it?
Why would I buy it and not use it?
I think you would. You would use it.
Yeah. I'm just curious why it has buy and use versus just.
So you can buy it and hold on to it and not use it till later, right?
Or if hope for something better, and if it doesn't show up, then you use it.
Right. There could be efficiency reasons why, right? You're like, okay, like, I think the next hand says, you know, the next boss says you can't play two pairs or something. I don't think that boss exists, but whatever, right? Oh, my deck is all flushes, and it, like, says I can't play that suit or something. Let's hold on to this and then I can level the two pair up when I get to that boss or something, right?
So this seems objectively better than buying that planet right there because we get a choice of three planets.
It's a choice of three, but you're not guaranteed to get exactly two pair, right? That's the trade-off right here.
Sure. I want to buy this pack.
And actually, you're paying $1 more. The pack is four and the other one is three, right?
Level up full house. Level up straight flush. Level up pair.
Yeah, pair is pretty good. Also, I will note that the artwork depicts what the hand is below the planets there. So if you get confused.
I see. Oh, nice.
Oh. Okay, well, we're going to use pair.
Yeah, pair is a good one.
And then we can still buy two pair above us.
Yeah.
Buy and use. I think we stop there.
Okay.
And we go on. Do we want to do the boss? What do we want to do? How do I?
Next round.
Do we want to do the boss?
Finish it out.
Okay.
Yeah, let's finish out the boss, yeah.
Okay. All right, so this guy gives us plus four, right?
It's four multiplier, though.
Right. Okay, so we really want pair or two pair, and we're going to lose two cards afterwards.
Yeah, so only after we play the hand, not discard.
So we should use you can discard whatever. Right. Yeah.
Discard to get a good hand, and then play it, and then don't expect to hold on to anything after that.
Okay, so what we should do here is pull for jacks or this straight, right?
Yeah, definitely those middle cards aren't doing it. I guess the question is, do you hold that small two pair or do you ditch them? You could probably hold it for now.
We have some discards, right? Oh, yep. we got jacks.
I think you go for this two pair and you may just win straight off.
It might get you there, yeah. Do they stack, JJ? Does the pair and the two pair bonuses stack?
No, because we're playing a two pair hand, right?
Yeah, correct. So hit the run info button there, Andrew.
So see the hands are listed here with their various levels and everything. On the left side there, when you exit back out of the screen and you're on the main thing, it tells you which hand you're playing.
Aha. Okay. Yep.
So you'll know which one it is and which level it is and what the base multiplier and stuff will be. You know, maybe the boss affects that or something, whatever, but this is the base. It's also worth paying attention to because sometimes, and it's not the case yet for Andrew, but like maybe later in his run, as if he keeps going, like all of a sudden pair will be higher level than two pair, and actually playing the pair is more points than playing the two pair or playing a straight now, even, right?
What is the orange number when we're in this menu on the right?
That's the number of times you've played the hand.
I see. Okay.
There are reasons that that's important. There are some jokers may care about it or bosses or things like that.
So we're going to end up at 7 multiplier plus 4 multiplier.
It's going to be pretty high.
It's going to be at least an 8. So I think you give it a go and see where you end up.
It's going to get you pretty close.
Yeah, nope, you did it. And holding discards doesn't help us in the money department?
No, it does not. So this starting deck starts you with an extra discard. And there's no money attached to discards. So like fishing for a good hand is absolutely a smart play.
Gotcha.
But then once you're out of discards, you're stuck with whatever you got. So if you were fishing real hard for a straight and you didn't get it, now you have nothing, right? So you do have to be a little careful with that.
Oh, so if you play low cards, you get more multiplier consecutively. Each diamond gives 1 point.
This joker is sweet. You should take this. We don't have to continue on, but that joker is rad.
Yeah.
It basically gives a huge multiplier for a certain suit, but the suit changes like every round. So you don't know what suit it's going to be. But if you play the suit that is specified, it multiplies your multiplier.
So this suit changes every round, or no?
Yes.
Or there's another joker that does what you're saying. No,
look at the text, right?
Yeah.
But
suit changes at end of round.
At end of round, yeah. So you finish the round, then next round, you don't know which suit it's going to be, but it will be a 1.5x, right?
That's awesome. What is collection here?
So this is
just what you've seen in the game.
And what you have unlocked, yeah. Because there are some things that are not unlocked by default at the start.
Oh, okay.
Most of the jokers, many of the types of decks, there's lots of stuff.
Does it save my spot if I hit main menu here?
Yes, yeah, it's all saved.
That was fun as heck. I'm addicted already.
I will tell you that you are on the tutorial seed.
Okay.
Which is like a known thing, and people have found it pretty easy to win off the tutorial.
Sure. One would hope, right?
You might understand why, right? Like, you know, but also, you know, it does then require you to sort of know what's coming up a little bit. And if you don't know that, which I'm not going to tell you now, but I think you're on a good start for sure.
Okay. Well, that was my Steam sale. That was my big thing I was looking forward to at the end of a long week of work. that I decided was worth the not being cheap.
I don't mean it to sound like I'm bullying you. I really don't. But, you know, man, $15 is not that much.
I think a little bullying between friends is okay.
Especially when we know it's something you're going to get your money's worth out of.
It's good-hearted bully.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a heartwarming post from the Bellatro dev saying that they had now officially sold 1 million copies across their various platforms. So
I heard they were back on the Switch as well in most regions with a new age rating. So hopefully their sales have gone back up.
They were also bemoaning that they changed the age rating, saying how dumb it is. And like the game is kind of explicitly not actually gambling. Right.
It's like, yeah,
there's no gambling actually involved except with yourself. Right. And like,
it's like saying
there's not even any wagering. You can't wager anything.
No, it's like people who say like play anything with a deck of cards is gambling. It's kind of silly. You know?
Yeah. And that's really what they were complaining about. And they're like, I don't promote gambling. There's no like actual wagering happening here. You know, it's just it's a card game, you know?
Yeah. Too bad. Well, maybe Nintendo will get their head out of their butts, but maybe they won't based on that Nintendo Direct. I don't know. What do you think, Michael? Nintendo Direct?
It's always hard to tell when they do an indie Direct what Nintendo might be thinking, since it's mostly their partners getting a chance to showcase their games. But I think one of the more interesting ones, kind of proving that tactics games are having a moment, is one that we saw called Unicorn Overlord. And I think JJ has been playing a little bit of that.
Yeah. Are tactics games having a moment?
Didn't we just see a new Switch tactics game coming? That's kind of a knockoff of, if you will, of the Marvel one.
Oh yeah. Capes, I think, was the one.
That is what it was called.
Yeah. Capes is the new one that's coming. It looks good. I mean, the Marvel one didn't do as hot as I think people expected it to. Maybe because it's on the Switch. I don't know.
I mean, the Marvel one is on PC. You could play it there. It was great.
Which one?
I don't know. Which one are you talking about?
I was thinking of the older one that came out when the Switch came. Was it?
The Ultimate Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance.
That's not a tactics game.
Exactly. JJ's
talking Black Suns.
You're talking Black Suns, which
Midnight
is
Sun.
More
Midnight Sun,
which is much more tactics than the one I was erroneously thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, definitely an analogous there. And I would say that this is a strategy RPG. Talking about Unicorn Overlord again. Sorry, Unicorn Overlord for people who aren't tuned in. this is definitely in the like Fire Emblem vein, with like some very important distinctions, I will say.
I mean, the artwork looks exactly like a Fire Emblem ripoff.
It's pretty generic fantasy type stuff. And I will go ahead and tell you right up front, story's pretty cringe. Not real highly interesting off the bat. You know, young lord exiled from his kingdom. You know, parents killed, have to retake the country, taken over by evil empire, etc. You know, you got your older mentor character who's very high level, who courts you around and stuff. Very much Fire Emblem, right?
Sure.
But where it is very different from Fire Emblem games is that, Andrew, this is a real-time strategy game.
You know what's funny is I was going to talk about when we were doing Bellatro. And 2 seconds before you talked about it in the shop, I was going to ask, hey, my RTS instincts are telling me either I need to invest in things like the big expensive upgrade early so that I benefit from it longer, or I need to save my money much more like a tower defense or whatever to try and get income, passive income off of interest and things like that. Like my instincts were flaring up even in the tutorial.
So it's not
very funny that we're hitting an RTS here.
not to the level of something like a StarCraft or a tower defense type game. You don't really build structures, to be clear. There are ways you can use items to create structures on the map, but mostly you're just controlling units, walking them around. The battles are also not real time, but they are also not turn-based. The battles are like a, I guess they are turn-based, but they're not direct control. They're controlled in the way that like Final Fantasy XII Gambit systems are set up, in that you can pick abilities for every unit, and they fire off in initiative order, and they, you know, you can choose like targeting target units with flying, or target units that are injured, or target units with this percentage of health, or only target armored units, only target unarmored units, things like that, right? And they have a gigantic list of conditions.
So yeah, full on Gambit system,
right? And then every class has both active and passive abilities. So you have like, you know, the Lord Strike or whatever, and it's a attack that heals the character. Okay, well, I only want to use that on like, because it's not that strong, because it has a healing component. So maybe I only use it on like injured characters. Where then my passive ability is like, I will defend a character in the same row as me. So I want to use that on my lower health characters as opposed to my full health characters, right? You defend the ones that are hurt. That makes sense. And the way you arrange your units is a 3x2 grid, right? So it's
okay,
three across.
I was going to ask, because I looked up a photo of this, and I was curious what this grid was about.
So there's basically back rows and front rows. And where you align your characters will sort of change their behaviors a little bit. And who will be attacked first and stuff like that, right? Typically, they're going to be targeting the units in the front, but not always, right? Maybe there's specific things where they have an arrow or something that doesn't have to attack only the front characters, or they have like a pike that can attack both rows at the same time, all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, there's a billion classes, as far as I can tell. I've only played for like a couple hours. The demo seems quite long. And, you know, you have, you know, your main sort of knight character, you have a paladin dude riding on a horse, you have a pike type soldier person who also has a very weak little heal, you have ranger people that shoot arrows, you have sorcerer people who shoot magic and then also can make attacks magic, which is good to pierce armor. You can sorcerer people that shoot fire instead of ice. You have, you know, like, and warrior dudes with giant hammers, guys with giant shields that block all damage, dudes with axes that attack after the end of the battle to like give like the parting blow kind of thing. There's insane combinations, just an unbelievable amount. And it all matters where you place them on this little grid, right? And what order you put them in. Mm-hmm. And then how you align their skills to target enemies.
Are you limited in the amount that go on this grid? Are you filling up all six spaces on a 3x2, or are you only filling up a certain amount of them?
So initially, when you're starting, you can only put certain numbers of units on these grids. I think in the early battles, you only have like two units, maybe, or even one.
Okay.
And then as you go on, you earn some currencies, and you can purchase more grids. And you can have, I believe they start, newly purchased grid starts with two characters that you can put on it. And you can invest points to then give you 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the number of points needed goes way up every time you add a character, right? It's like,
sure.
Oh, 10 points to unlock the grid. Okay, now I have a third grid. 10 points again to make it from 2 to 3 characters. That's not so bad. 50 points to add 4 characters, right? It's like, oh, meanwhile, a new grid is only 10, right? And okay. You know, then I don't even know because I haven't gotten enough points to give anyone more than 4. So yeah, it scales pretty quick, and the combinations are starting to get like pretty ridiculous already. You know, you can hire enemies or members of various classes from the fort. So if you want like two warriors and a hammer guy, and then a shield guy, and then two healers in the back or something like that, right? You have all these options, and the battles sort of play out like Fire Emblem-esque, where you have a base on the map, right? And the goal is typically like capture the other base, right? Okay, so you know, deploy at your little town, and then you move your people, and then they just start walking. You know, it's like You know, you grab them, you click go here, and then they start moving along the path. And it's the overworld, though. The battle maps are the overworld.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So, like, you know, the area where you're walking around between battles, which I guess you don't see until you actually get out of the first, like, couple tutorial battles. But when you're walking around in the overworld and then you start a battle, that is the area where the map is. Huh. You know, it sort of, like, removes the random encounters on there. And there aren't random encounters. They're fixed. But, like, all the enemies that are wandering around in, like, unclaimed areas or whatever, you know, you're fighting the enemies in the mission, not those other guys also.
Right.
You know, then your guys walk, you know, and there's a timer. There's a timer. If you don't finish the mission in the time, you lose.
Oh.
So, you know, it is real time in that. The battles.
Does the timer stop in the battle?
Yes, because the battles can take quite a bit of time with going back and forth and then triggering skills, which trigger other skills, which trigger all these people, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Is there a just tell me what happened button?
Oh, you know there is. and you also know there is a when your unit walks into an enemy unit, a big screen will pop up before you start, right? And you have the opportunity to, like, adjust your formation, move your characters around, like, oh, okay, like, I have my three warriors in the front and my pike person in the back. Oh, this battle has a archer and they're going to shoot the pike person first. I'm going to move the pike person to the front next to the guy with the shield so that he blocks it and that they don't die. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, see, update all that in real time before you enter the battle. So that if you decide, like, I don't know if you can switch characters between units, but if you have two units in range of a bad guy, you can switch which unit is fighting.
Oh,
you know, so like if you're, you know, your left unit gets there slightly first, but they're very close to each other. You know, and they're both kind of almost in range, you can press a button to have either unit fight, which can be really nice for doing stuff like, okay, like, these guys are kind of underleveled, but these fights are easy. Let's, like, swap those guys in and let them get some kills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of Fire Emblem-ness. So similarly, like, you know, there's swords, which are better against spears, which are better against shields, which are better, and then arrows are good against flying and, like, all this kind of stuff, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's pretty cool so far. I'm really into the battle system. Like I said, the story is pretty generic.
Is the story holding the battle system back, though?
Not, like, dreadfully, but it's super not interesting. Like, I'm not going to pursue, you know, there's some kind of relationship system where, you know, the people in your little units, you know, your groups of six, gain points with each other so that they then have... I don't know. I haven't actually unlocked any of them, so I'm not clear.
You're like, I have no idea why.
but I assume, like in Fire Emblem, you unlock little story discussions or, you know, you gain slight battle advantages or something. But, like, mm-hmm. I so far have no desire to, like, get all those people leveled up because it's like, who cares, right? It's like, right. Giant dude with hammer is the same as the random giant dude with hammer that I found at a fort. It's like, eh.
Right. Yeah, I saw you mentioned it, JJ. I saw a chart of the different classes, and it seems endless.
And I will say nicely so far, they are doing at least, you know, again, the early going for me. But, you know, I'm unlocking another person to join my army after, like, what seems like almost every battle. So, you know, your little units are filling up pretty quick, and you don't need, you know, like, six units per battle or whatever. You really only need, like, three or four if you're, you know, specking them out and doing that sort of stuff. So, you know, you can rotate your people around. You can make, like, a fun – it definitely allows you to just experiment with stuff because then you can also, like, there's a mock battle system. So you just want to try this combination out. Like, does this even work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems really good. I'm very impressed. I'm really enjoying the combat. And there's, like, a whole resource system. Like, you can collect items on the map and use them to rebuild the towns to, like, make the towns have better equipment. So you can buy equipment and equip it on your guys and so on and so forth, right? RPG type stuff, right?
The best type stuff.
Yeah, it really has a, like, a cross between like Fire Emblem and Ogre Battle and like Final Fantasy Tactics kind of vibes in various places. Not really so much the story on the Tactics end or the Ogre Battle end. But the battle system has a lot of those vibes, and it's pretty interesting. And, you know, like I said, it's very different from a lot of stuff out there. The like real time movement stuff, you know, they're like flying units, and those can just like go over the mountain pass that's blocking the way. And like, oh, I hope you have someone stationed at your fort, because that griffin is just going to take your stuff if you don't. Right.
Oh, man. Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. I don't have any time to play this game, so don't know when or if I will ever purchase it, but I really like this demo, and I think if people are interested in these sorts of strategy games, you should check them out.
Yeah, I wonder how the demos these days are influencing, you know, with alpha access and beta access and early access and all these, you know, PAL World is technically still early access, you know? How do we feel like these types of accesses or betas or demos are affecting things? Like, I'm not sure I would have played the Bravely Default demo 10, 15 years ago. When did Bravely Default come out? 15 years ago now?
Yeah, probably some.
demo, even back then, if it didn't tell me like, oh, it'll transfer some stuff to your game.
So I think they're doing something smart here in that I think, at least for Unicorn Overlord, the demo just is the beginning of the game. And I think after you finish the demo, if you buy the thing, you can just pick up and continue. but I think
it just adds it on and you just get to keep playing.
But that's going to be months from now, right? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you can start over too. I don't think the game is going to stop you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of demos that do that more, I feel like more often recently, where they basically just give you the opening hour or two of the game.
If you really like your build out,
you can just keep going and they unlock the rest of it at release.
That makes sense to me if the game is released, right? Like, I think the way Final Fantasy VII did it was, here's the demo. If you just want to unlock the game, you can continue playing. That makes sense to me. But, like, these early, quote-unquote, demos that don't come out, like, right as the game's coming out are kind of, like, I don't know.
Unicorn Overlord is out now.
Okay.
That's not the case here, but I know what you're talking about. Like Baldur's Gate did this, right?
Baldur's Gate.
Here's the first act, and then they changed a bunch of stuff, and it's like, well, you can still have these, but like,
I had this exact discussion with a friend O the Pod Matt, and when he was playing hours and hours and hours and replayed the first act of Baldur's Gate 3 multiple times, I said, he's like, you should get it. I said, I will eventually play it, but I don't want to play like some early version. It's going to be completely different and I'm going to have to replay it later. And all that sort of stuff doesn't appeal to me. I'm not a unpaid tester.
I think in the Baldur's Gate case, there's a lot of good reasoning to want to have to replay stuff.
Sure.
Also, Matt then needed to be kicked after the game was fully out and be like, hey, why are you still in the first act? Go play more of the game, Matt. And, you know, there's like a whole story that you have ignored. You should consider what's happening and consider pursuing it farther. I believe he's in the third act now. But
yes, yeah, I believe that is true.
Man, I want to replay that game as one of the new other characters that I didn't play as. I'm infinite time, but yeah, I would.
Yeah, well, you have infinite wealth currently, so you have to think about these types of things.
Yeah, true. I'm finally getting closer, I think, to the end of that one. But man, it just keeps going.
I don't know about you guys. I still really love these types of games. I mean, that tactics game sounds like it's a full-on RPG, and I really do want to play Infinite Wealth and all these Yakuza games, or Like a Dragon games, whatever you want to call them. I want to play Baldur's Gate 3, but I look at all the things on the list, and then I have like Bellatros now in front of me and all these other ones. It's like, I'm going to just have to start mainlining these things, or I'm going to die before I get to play the rest of my Steam catalog.
Well, that's why I'm excited for the Bellatro to put out a mobile port.
Yeah, the developer did say they're working on it, but I don't know that it's like imminent or close. But I think, yeah, I think they put out their little indie game, and then, oh, we sold a lot of copies of this, and their publisher was like, "Hey,
maybe put this on phones, bro.
Here's some money. Would you like to put this on other things?" And he's like, "I would like more money too." And they're like, "Yes."
They're on that Vampire Survivor track.
I mean, it's on Switch, PlayStation, PC, Xbox. It's Mac, I think. It's on Mac now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get it on Mac.
It works. If it's on Steam Mac, it can't be that hard to get it to iOS.
I don't think that's the issue, but it's more like, you know, now you have to make it work with a touch interface, right? Because all the other ones have been controllers and keyboards.
Yeah, a controller is so close to a touch interface almost. It's just, the problem is the contextual actions that we just saw, where you tap the cards,
and then you have to select it, then you have to unselect it. You got to play it. You got to make sure they're big enough to tap so that they don't get all bunched up. What if I have 700 cards in my hand? Because you can do that.
But there were things on the screen for. Yeah, I haven't seen the crazy combinations of what you can have in your hand, but there were things on the screen for discard and play the hand. So it's not like those buttons aren't ready to be changed to touch buttons, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But I'll go ahead and tell you, be careful using that controller, Andrew, as you saw. It's real easy to just like mindlessly. It's like, all right, I got these two selected. Great, discard. Oh, whoops. No, I just played a high card.
Whoops. Oh.
But yeah, you know, I'm sure they will work on it and get it out as quick as they can, and while also not breaking the rest of Bellatro.
They will also apparently be making t-shirts for the game, so you can have your A+ Joker t-shirt.
Nice. Also, speaking of Vampire Survivors, I follow the creator of Baldur's Gate 3, Sven Vinge, I think, on social media, and he posted, "Should we do a collab with Vampire Survivors? Yeah." And the other choice was, "Hell yeah." So
those are the correct two options.
Maybe people should look forward to some Baldur's Gate Vampire Survivors crossover in the future.
I would imagine that goes the Baldur's into Vampire Survivors direction, and not the Vampire Survivors into Baldur's direction.
I mean, anything is possible, I suppose, but yeah, probably you're correct. Yeah.
I don't see how it goes the other way.
I mean, vampires are a thing in D&D, but yeah, you're probably right about that.
Oh, man. Well, if you love our COTC content, the only thing we're saying today is go do the Gertrude Cup race, I think.
Yeah, get you some free wins.
So what are Gertrude's weaknesses again? It's dagger and what?
Dagger, bow, and fire.
Okay, so but that's like, why you just A2 her to death, huh?
Y'all, Bargello and A2 and Therion send their regards.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it Therion that's the answer there instead of Falco? I don't know.
Therion is stronger because he has the double cast, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but Falco has debuff.
You could replace A2 with Falco.
Because
you could replace Bargello with Falco, I guess, but... Bargello does dagger res, which is pretty nice.
Oh, I guess I'm looking at Falco for dagger res, but also Bargello has dagger res and damage cap, which A2 would very much like, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Bargello has dagger res down, which is nice.
So does Falco on his ultimate. Yeah.
Oh, on his ult? His ult is dagger damage up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not debuff.
Doesn't he have dagger res down then?
He doesn't do a debuff on his ultimate.
Oh,
but actually, it doesn't matter. It would stack anyway, right? Because it's the ultimate category and not the regular category.
Yeah, so you get it on top.
Yeah. Everything's lining up.
I think
up.
You're right, though. But we're supposed to do it with 4 stars, so can't have room for all of them.
Yeah, you only need 4 4-stars, right? I mean, or you can do what I saw some people doing and just don't have any 4 stars.
Just have just the 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah, because like whatever, right?
Yeah, those are really funny.
10 Barad turns is a lot, yeah.
Barad and Wingate seem good. Maybe you just put them the 4 stars back there to give them backpack HP and SP and don't even bother with healing.
Why not? If you're going to do it in, 2-3 turns, what's there to heal?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said,
you don't need healing if you've got enough damage.
Not wrong.
I remember
I only brought Primrose EX because of buffing and debuffing and ultimate buffing, basically.
Yeah.
But like, A2 has damage. I don't know. You could just bring all of them, right? And it's like, who needs buffs when you hit hard?
Yeah. Yeah, why spend time buffing when you could just whack?
Which I guess, and to be clear, Bargello's buff is still probably real good for using, so probably still want that one.
Speaking of damage, I did watch a TV series over the past couple weeks called Station 11.
Hmm. I have that book sitting on the coffee table to read downstairs.
Do you really?
I do.
Apparently the book and the show are similar and yet very different. Like, very different.
Interesting.
Similar themes, I guess, but the stories diverge and reconverge and things like that. So I'd be curious. I watched the show and thought to myself, I kind of want to read the book now. I didn't read spoilers about the book, but I heard some stuff that was like, well, this person does this and that. And it was like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not in the show at all. So, 10 episodes. JJ is kind of like a Walking Dead-esque thing without the zombies, right? Because like it's just about a flu that decimates the world's population.
Okay, so post-apocalypse, but like no, focusing on the stuff that's actually good about Walking Dead, which is man's inhumanity towards man and not the zombie stuff.
Yeah, and then the working theory of why people are inhuman to each other, and what role art services in reminding people of the humanity of others and the transience of power.
Cool.
Very cool. Very presentation in the show, very Lost-like in terms of its mysteries of how people are connected to each other.
Mm.
And how one person's actions in Malaysia can affect things in Chicago.
Flat effect.
Okay.
Not butterfly effect. Direct effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested.
Miniseries done. Just did the book and they're done with. So
nice.
I thought it was pretty good. I think some of it's a little overwrought. They probably could have done it in 9 episodes, but most of it was pretty tasty.
Well, I'll have to find time now that we've started.
Good luck.
Now that we have started watching Shogun, I don't know that our TV time is going to be super available in the near future.
Well, you started, huh?
Well, and House of the Dragon, and
it's coming soonish, I think.
Another what other show is coming back like very imminently? There's another one, big one right around the corner as well.
I'm looking forward to X-Men 97. That's coming soon. I don't. There are a bunch coming soon. Tis the season, you know.
Yeah,
but
the delays.
Andy, y'all should watch Shogun, man. It's real good.
I intend to. Right, like it's one of those definitely next sort of things. We just worked our way through season 2 of some Star Trek that we need to talk about probably on a separate podcast.
Yeah, but yeah, we do.
I think people would like Station 11 if they're into the idea that the world can end and it won't. The apocalypse is not the end. Right.
You invoked the Lost comparison, so I got to ask, is the ending more satisfying than Lost?
It is not Lost in terms of its metaphysics. There's nothing really metaphysical happening. Things are explained concretely. But the idea that all these connections could be happening is the Lost-esque thing that is happening early in the show, where you're like, why do I care about this person meeting this person and that person meeting that person? And are these things all connected?
I mean, the Lost comparison is all about the mystery stuff, right? That's the thing I associate with Lost. But you're saying it's like there's interpersonal mystery here.
I think it's more interpersonal mystery than anything, right? There's no like who it doesn't matter what the flu is. It doesn't matter.
I love a good character drama, so I'm not against it. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the type of show.
It has the feeling of that type of a show, right? Where there feels like there's mystery happening around the corner because of the way that it was presented. And there's time jumps. Very clear time jumps. They put them on the screen. They give you days and weeks and things like that.
Okay.
It just is presented in a way where things are a mystery until you see how they're all connected, and they do a good job of connecting them. Like, how did this person end up there without that person? And what is that person doing? And how are they connected to these other people? And
Putting the pieces together is satisfying, right? Like, yeah, that's good.
That's it. If you want to help JJ put the pieces together on whatever your issue is,
if they want to put those pieces together, we have a connective thread,
mm-hmm.
which is podcast@wewergamers.com, our email address.
Show is.
And the archive that stretches back into the past and forward into the future is youtube.com/@wewergamers.
Well, one example is like there's a place in the show you find out about early on called the Museum of Civilization. And it's talked about like it's this huge mystery. But it's a concrete thing that you eventually figure out about. And you kind of can start piecing together what it is on your own if you're paying attention.
Okay. I mean, it seems like that's a well-thought-out mystery.
I have no idea if it's in the book, Michael.
Good question. I still have yet to read it, so I couldn't tell you.
Is the book liked?
I believe so. Yeah.
I was not aware of this book or show.
It was gifted to me by someone who thought it was excellent. So,
okay.
They changed the setting from Toronto in the book to Chicago, mostly.
Okay.
Just so you know when you're reading it, I don't know why they did that, but they did.
I wonder if I should read Shogun after watching this miniseries.
I have attempted to read it multiple times. I don't have anything against it, but it is a slow read.
It is.
If you think George R.R. Martin put a lot of detail and inessential exposition, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, you can guess where my stuff lies when I read a bunch of Brandon Sanderson, so that might not fly good. we'll see. We'll see how the show goes, and then maybe I hate it by the end, and then who knows?
I don't think the book is bad. I was young when I tried to read it. I just don't know. It's long.